Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's cup of couples therapy, cup of couples therapy.
Hello and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
And we are a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we celebrate. You didn't know I was going to go there, Naomi. We celebrate beating back fascism.
For one more day.
I know we don't talk about politics usually on the show.
But honey, this is a brand new dawn.
For one, yes, and for now on, this is now like Chapo Trap House. This is a dirtbag left podcast. So strap in, everyone.
I would never let that happen, you guys. You can trust me.
No, never.
But, oh my God, this is the first episode where we know that come January 2021, we about to have a little freedom. Have a little George Michael style freedom. I swear to God, we ain't gonna have to hear his crazy ass all the time. We can finally stop pretending like what he says makes sense and matters because he will no longer be the goddamn president.
I feel 1,000 pounds psychically lighter.
I mean, honey, I said I've never felt more alive. I don't know. We really got into it. Like, Andy and I, honey, we were driven to create.
Oh, God. We celebrated?
We celebrated.
We celebrated. We hung out in a friend's backyard and let our dogs hang out together, and Mabel got along with everyone.
Mabel got along with a dog, you guys, and a dog who was bigger than her. She didn't react. Even Mabel knew to calm down and enjoy the vibe because it was a big day. And then we had a nice dinner.
Yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah, I don't want to credit last week's show, Good Vibes Only, with what happened.
But perhaps it put a certain energy into the universe that then everyone fed off of. Perhaps people took some of Joe's tinctures. The tinctures Joanna recommended to all of us from Nature Direct.
By the way, if this is your first episode of Couples Therapy,
Welcome.
We are celebrating. This is not our usual introduction. We are just celebrating. And in fact, Naomi, as you said, we were driven to create. Naomi was like walking around the house singing a little song.
When I feel light, honey, I just start singing songs. I was singing Lift Every Voice and Sing, but except I changed the lyrics and it started with Count Every Vote and Sing. And then that just really, I took that for as long as I could take it. Then I did a, and then I just started making up my rap. you know, because sometimes I'm a raptress in the house, in the privacy of the home. And because my husband, my betrothed, my partner is over here so creative, I just start singing. And then he's like, we should put this to music. And I'm like, can we do that? Because, you know, I don't know how to actually see something through.
Yeah, so then I got as creative as possible and put together some GarageBand loops.
Well, honey, we created a bop. We created a bop. And we are now going to bring that bop to your ears so you have something to keep you lighter. All right, here it is.
Donald Trump, bye, bitch. Ivanka Trump, bye, bitch. Eric Trump, bye, bitch. Don Jr., bye, bitch. Jared Kushner, bye, bitch. Bill Barr, bye, bitch. Baby Dinosaur, bitch. Betsy D, bye, bitch. Kellyanne, bye, bitch. Mike Pence, bye, bitch. Calling your wife, mom, bitch. Stephen Miller, bye, bitch. Put you in a cage, bitch. Mike Pompeo, bye, bitch. Mark Meadows, bye, bitch. Enjoy your COVID, bye, bitch. Kelly McEnany, bye, bitch. Bye, bitch. Kelly McEnany, bye, bitch. Bye, bitch. Whole crew, bye, bitch. Whole crew, bye, bitch. Everybody, bye, bitch. 45, bye, bitch.
Man.
Don't you love it?
Catchy.
Don't you love it?
Heck.
The only thing I regret is I forgot to say Giuliani, bye, bitch. So, you know, but again, it's like maybe I do a 12-minute version where I list every single name.
Yeah, it was so funny. So, Naomi, we put it up online like Saturday night. And then people seem to love it. There was like one single person on Naomi's Instagram who was like, this is a step too far for me. Unfollow.
I know someone who was literally so funny because they were literally like, she's like, I used to like you before, but this is too much. Unfollowing, you do you. And it was like some white lady.
And I was begging Naomi, I'm like, Naomi, please let me write bye, bitch.
And I just said no.
Under her
let
comment.
It go. Honey, I hit like, I said goodbye. But what I thought was so funny, it was like, you like me till now? What the hell have you been watching or seeing with my angry black ass? I'm like, excuse me? This was the line? And then it was funny because I saw today some woman named Erin, who I'm now obsessed with, she just responded to that comment. That woman's comment was like, LOL, imagine this being the reason you leave. And I was just like, yeah, I know. And then some other guy, some older white guy was like, you don't have to rub it in. And it's something like that where I was like, bitch, you found me. Okay, I ain't coming up in your house.
Yeah,
singing,
we didn't at you. We didn't at you.
Thank you. He doesn't even follow me. So obviously it came to his attention, but then he came to say something. And it's like, you can't say I rubbed something in if you came to find it. Goodbye. Lick your wounds. It was just like, but.
By the way, so we turned into like a ringtone, I suppose.
Yeah.
If you want to purchase this ringtone, go to couplestherapypod.bandcamp.com. And I will tell you this, all the proceeds are going to go to on-the-ground organizers in Georgia.
Trying to get people registered for them runoffs, making sure every vote gets counted, and then everybody comes out and votes.
Yes.
That's what we're sending it to.
On-the-ground organizers, not the Lincoln Project people.
On people who are in Georgia doing the work, making it happen, okay? We got to help them get what they need when they got their boots on the ground. So that's what we're doing, just so that you know. Because I was like, oh, we can give this to people. And then it's like, well, if we can get, like, and we were just charging $1, you know, and I just thought, maybe we can do something with it, right? It's like, hey,
let's continue the spirit of helping.
Exactly. The shit ain't over just because, you know, Uncle Joe and Auntie K up in here.
Oh,
Auntie AKA, I was here for Kamala's AKA energy. My cousin is an AKA. You know, it's a very fancy black sorority.
I didn't. I was pretending like I knew what you were talking about.
AKA is a sorority that Kamala is a member of.
Where'd you go, Howard?
Yeah. Anywho, okay, the fact is we're coming in hot. We have a little joy. We feel lighter, but
it's so. But, wait, can I say it's so funny? So back in like June or July, I was like, "Hey, I have a plan. Just in case the worst thing happens in November, we should record like 2 or 3 months worth of episodes, just in case."
So that if we were like in a puddle on the floor crying,
yeah,
we could still give you the content you love.
Right. Yeah. If we were living our lives in the fetal position, you could still get episodes and we would just have to record an intro. So we have now 3 months worth of episodes.
Yeah. Which I love, quite honestly. We get to relax.
Yeah.
And they're fun episodes, but yeah, they're all, so you're going to hear these episodes that we recorded before. obviously we knew what our status was, but they're still lovely, fun combos.
Yeah, which is also fine because we don't talk about politics, so it's not like it's timely or anything.
Right. So it was great. But today is such a fun one. This was one for me where I was like, someone who you and I both like, but this is one of those conversations where I'm like, holy shit, I am learning more about you. You have already heard her lovely voice. Today, we are talking to Cameron Esposito, comedian, writer, and actor who we adore so deeply. You may know Cameron from her podcast, Query, her TV show, Take My Wife, or her new memoir, Save Yourself, which you should definitely buy and read. It came out like early in Quar, which is so, you know, frustrating, like your first book. And then, of course, you can't even go on a book tour, but you should buy it. I definitely felt like after talking to Cam for this, you know, on the pod, I was like, oh my God, there are layers. There is so much here to unpack and discover. And it made me like really want to. And she is so fucking like smart and funny. So
she's awesome. I was kind of scared of her a little bit, but she's very
so cool.
Warm.
Because, yeah, I know, because she's so cool. And the hair. I mean, to me, whenever someone has style, I'm automatically like, well, may I please say hello? You know, because like if you're really cool.
We're both nerds, you and I.
Yeah, and I don't know how to dress. I'm like always in awe of people who know how to dress. I'm like, how did you know how to put stuff together in a cool way? Anyway, Cam is wonderful. You should definitely buy Save Yourself. But before you do that, listen to this magical, wonderful episode. But before we get into that, as always, you know we got to tell you about that Twitch show, baby? Come on. Every Wednesday, 2 p.m. PST, me and Andy, we bring together the Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew, also known as Group, also known as Baby Cult. Also, no.
I do not like the direction some of this stuff is going.
I love it. You know, we're a sex negative cult. We just want your money. And I personally think that that's a beautiful thing, to be honest, in an age of Nexium.
I do not support this.
To be honest. But honey, we come to you. Andy does hilarious bits. I pop off at the mouth. Last time I was wearing a head wrap in what looked to be a potato sack. I am coming to the Twitch show. Real. Okay. So if you want to come visit us Wednesday, 2 p.m. PST, you can go to twitch.tv/couples therapy pod. It is free. But if you want to hang out and like in the chat, you have to like sign up for an account again, free. But again, CTQC for life, besties.
Yeah.
Join us.
All right. Now, roll it.
Cam. This is where we're at in Quar, honey. We are recording with you on day 200.
Day 200. Yesterday was Yom Kippur. I fasted all day. Was insane with a caffeine headache by 7:30 p.m. when I finally broke the fast, and I am losing it. How are you doing? Day 200. Let's get into it.
You know what? How am I doing today? Let me just allow me to paint an audio scene. They are replacing a water main outside of where I live and have been doing that for 6 months. And it's not the fault of the people out there that do the construction, but I do curse them. I do curse them.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And also, I will say, I got a new puppy not too long ago.
I was going to bring it up immediately.
I was out on my balcony at like 5 o'clock in the morning because she was waking up early. And I saw these same construction workers, the usual burly type, doing yoga in a circle.
Oh, that is Los Angeles. That is Los Angeles in a fucking nutshell.
Well, that's why it takes them 6 fucking months to fix a water main. These bitches too slow. These some damn dirty hippies
doing some savasana.
Wow.
It's too chill. So it's loud over here. And so how am I doing? I'm good. I just wish for no noise to happen again ever.
Yeah.
The end.
We are across the street from a construction site since we moved in here. Like when we even looked at the apartment, you know, we came and the apartment was great, loved it. And then we were leaving, I noticed right across the street was an empty lot. And I was like, uh-oh. And we were like, but the apartment was so much better than our apartment that I was like, we can do this. We can totally do this. And here we are, what, almost a year and a half later.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's a frame up now. There's a frame up, honey. You can't pull out of our driveway sometimes. Like, it's dangerous, you know, with all the mixers and shit.
It's dangerous anyway. Can I say this? Because I've been on my high horse about this for weeks now.
Oh, great.
Get
Everyone,
bring that horse over here.
Everyone said, and I think there might be an advice question about this later. I can't remember exactly because when I put the advice questions together, I was fasting and out of my mind. But when we moved, everyone was like, oh, L.A., we moved here from New York. There's so much space. There's space everywhere. Oh, everything. There's like giant tracts of land. And then we get here. And yes, that's kind of true, but it's all packed in with cars so that if like you move your car slightly 1 inch to the left, you cause $20,000 worth of scratch damage to the side of your car. So, yes, there's more land. It's just all jammed up with stuff that you can scratch your car on. And if you're not an Indy 5000 whiz.
Indy 5000? Oh, honey pie. Andrew, two masks.
I also think that what you're talking about is no longer relevant because something that you're describing, this idea of space, some of that was shared public space that is now full of disease. And so I think that one thing that is really wild about living in LA is that there is a vibe of like, yeah, man, stretch out, you know, and that is like, I feel like going through this time in New York, there's no expectation that you have any room to feel normal ever, you know, like that, like literally it's like, it's loud. I'm trapped. Yeah. That's why I moved here, you know, but here in LA, the vibe of being loud and trapped and all of these, I just think it doesn't suit what's going on with this city. And it feels fucked up because it's not from here. She's not from here. Loud.
Coco's not from here.
She's not from here.
But I will say this though. I think because I have felt trapped here, you know, as a non-driver, as a public transportation, using my feet, like stumble upon fun. Actually, in some ways, I feel like now it's right. Now we're all kind of housebound. I said, welcome to my world. You don't know what to do? Why don't you start watching anime? That's what my ass did when I moved here.
Funny though, because my girlfriend is, God bless her. I don't understand this. This is just a true thing though. Like when she moved to LA, she was like, buses. Like I'll do buses. That's what I'm from. She's from, you know, she lived in New York for 10 years. She's like, I'll move to LA. I'll bus around. And she was doing that.
Yeah.
She was doing that. She, you know, I know a few people that do that. Not very many. And she was very into it. And then now that is gone.
Yeah.
So she has like a weird used van that she's been driving around. But my point
sorry. Adjectives. I just want to go used. I'm okay with that adjective. What's the weird part of the weird used van?
I think you could take used and just put van. You know what I mean? But there, I didn't need to say that modifier because it's implied. But also, like, I do think that it's great that she drives that because she's an extremely small person. And it's nice. It's a nice joke.
Yeah. She hops out. By the way, she hop out. You know what I mean?
What I've got in my mind now is the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo. That's the weird part of my head. It's also filled with masks for some reason. Yep. And a 4'7" woman driving it.
Well, that's the size of my grandmother on a good day. I should say more like 4'3". But no, we're the same height. It's just that, or she's maybe like a couple inches shorter, but it's just that she's small. She's just a petite,
a slight
person.
Frame. A slight
she's got
frame.
A slight frame, and I think that also I don't know how big I am is another thing that I've found out that's true about myself. Yeah. I don't know. Do you know who Abby Wambach is? She's greatest soccer player of all time.
We live for Abby Wambach. I just got an email from Glennon.
Oh yes, amazing. So Abby. And Glennon and I were all on, we were touring together for a minute. And yes, so when I was with Abby one time before going on stage, Naomi, you might have even done some of these shows, but anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm now remembering that. But one day, we're all in the back of a green room situation. And Abby and I are about to walk into the backstage. And I look at her, I literally said to her, like, let's go get them because we're the same size. You know, like I don't know why that's what I said, but it was very similar to that. And then because we were in a green room, she was like, I don't think so. And we got to turn and there were many mirrors, you know, many mirrors. And I got to find out that I think I am I think I am 7 inches shorter than her, maybe 8. And it turns out actually a pretty different size. As one of the greatest athletes of all time, I shake her hand and say, let's go get him since we're the same size and our bodies are similar. Turn. No. Beautiful.
It's let me put on my therapist cap for a second.
Oh, please.
Now, is this an ego thing or is this a lack of spatial recognition thing?
Great cue. I actually think some of it might be okay. I think some of it is like a small guy, but it's part of it is like a Napoleon complex. Part of it is like, but I have opinions. Part of it's that. And if you have that in you, but I have opinions plus childhood trauma, that's how you become a stand-up comic. Uh-huh. The other part of it is.
Yes, yes.
I think very the other true. Part of it. I think the other part of it is just, I think it's like gender related. Some of it is gender related. Because as I tried to figure out, you know, as a kid, what the fuck is going on with me? I think I couldn't understand how is my hair supposed to go, which are the clothes, you know,
and then which are the clothes.
Yes. And I think part of it was how big am I? I'm the size of this tall man, you know, like when I walk through the world, I'm like, out of my way, big fella coming through, you know, but it's not, I don't think that's how other people are experiencing me.
No, I think they are, though. It's interesting you say that because what I was going to say, you said ego or not spatial. Whereas I thought, I was like, did you grow up in a family that told you you were enough? You know what I mean? Like this idea, to me, to walk through the world with this sense of like, I am empowered is like someone told you before puberty, you're okay. But did that happen?
That's really interesting. Yeah, I got mixed messages as a kid. Part of it was that.
Yeah.
And then the other part of it is this very conservative Italian Catholic background. And so, again, what an interesting combination, because those are completely at odds, because part of it is super supportive parents who, like, love me so much and, like, are too supportive. Then the other side of it, Catholicism, nothing you've ever done is right.
Right.
Except for colonization. You did that right, you know, fuck out of that.
Wait, conservative? Like, are we talking like the Opus Dei, like the weird Supreme Court people, like that conservative?
Well, what I actually believe is that all conservative Catholics are in a cult. Like, I don't think it's not. I don't think it's like how conservative. It's like, so how conservative? I'll lay it out for you. I was an altar server growing up. I went to Catholic school my whole life. I was staunchly anti-abortion. But I did think you could get pregnant from hot tubs. I never had sex ed. I didn't know gay people were real. I mean, like, fully the whole thing. Like, indoctrinated. Like, fully conservative.
Okay. There's Catholic. So much to unpack here. Now, obviously, I'm sure you've talked about this many a time. I'm sorry if I'm behind. I need to know, as someone who didn't know gay people were real, how old were you when you came into realization of your gayness?
Yeah, wait. Can I?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can I piggyback a parenthetical onto that? When you say not real, do you mean like literally like mythological in some way?
No, making it up. So I do think there's a part of Catholicism that thinks this is a choice based on a desire to sin. That's what I learned. So I didn't know gay people were real. Like I thought, I mean, literally I had to write a paper on this in my senior year religion class. One thing we did was watch a videotape of an abortion. And the second thing we did was write a paper on whether or not homosexuality was a sin. And I have to say I found this years later and I actually was like pretty impressed with my views because I wrote, since I am not gay, I have no way of knowing whether or not it's a choice.
Okay. Okay.
So pretty
good rhetorical magic.
Pretty open-minded. how was I was I think I was 19 and
Catholic college, right?
A theology major.
Okay.
fully in.
Oh my God.
And I was going on solidarity trips, which is, again, a not good thing.
Wait, what's a solidarity trip?
It's like you go provide useless assistance to people who are in marginalized communities or in third world countries, because you're an untrained teen.
Missionary work? But, are we talking about like you're a missionary?
Well, you're not. It's not conversion focused. So you're not actually trying. You're going to like. So there are nuns and priests that live all over the world, mm-hmm. and they run non-governmental organizations, right? Like hospitals, or people build houses, or they. I mean, this is very extreme, but it's also true. Like, I was in Jamaica, mm-hmm. and there are nuns there who run a leper colony. And so, like, mm-hmm. that's the work that I was doing. I know, I'm from now, also.
I know, I was like, we're still doing leper colonies?
Well, leprosy is a treatable disease, but you have to have the medicine to treat it. And so, if you don't have the medicine, because you are a country who you're being, like, farmed for your bananas, and then all the look, and then also your senior frog locations. It's like all like banana farms and senior frogs, and then the humans there are not being taken care of.
Right.
It's,
I like the dividing line where there's like the frat kids hanging out at Fuddruckers, and then on the other side is like a Chiquita executive with a handgun being like, pick the goddamn bananas.
Absolutely. 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 You fly into different airports. Yep. Don't worry. You don't have to see it. But anyway, I was in Jamaica, working with nuns who were providing like care to, HIV positive children who were working with people that were dealing with leprosy. And there was another woman on this trip, and we were at beachfront property that is owned by the Catholic Church in Montego Bay.
Okay. This is how Stella got her groove back. This is literally white Catholic,
like
how Stella got her groove
back.
There's
like a few different details, but Tay Diggs was there. And anyway, this other woman on the trip.
Yeah.
And we had the end of the trip was a 3-day silent retreat.
Okay.
So no words are spoken. Imagine lesbians. And you know how emotional we are. And then you take away language and it's just eye contact.
Oh my God. The sexuality.
The sparks. Sparking, yeah. sparking. And then we came back to campus, and the day we came back, we kissed for the first time.
Wow. How much of the Catholic Church is like crypto queer? Does that make sense, that question? No, where they're
I like the phrase crypto queer.
Because like I was trying to think of like, I'm like, oh, it seems like there's a lot of actual like stuff that's like, well, we've hidden it. Like, you know, we can't actually talk about our sexuality. We can't even actually acknowledge it in some like real way. But we're going to hide it in some like that. The idea of like you said, like that's there's something romantic about, well, we can't talk. We can only look in each other's eyes. That's built into the religion in some way.
Yeah, but I would also add that like the way that all sexuality is worked into the Catholic Church is fucking mind blowing, because you're not supposed to have it. Right. Mm-hmm. That's like the point. Like, you're not supposed to have it. But that being said, many saints, which, you know, in the Catholic Church, that is like a thing people are obsessed with. You're trying to be a saint or whatever. Many saints had mystical sexual experiences, specifically women. Like when they're talking about their conversion encounters or how they communicate with a higher being, it's usually like there's this saint, Saint Teresa. And she is a mystic saint, which means she's like on the, you know, she would do well on like Instagram these days. She's talking about like, my hands are doing this. You know what I'm saying? Right?
I'm into it. Like,
you're waving your, by the way, for the listener, Cam is waving her hands in front of her like a magician almost.
Yeah, a little
It almost feels like astrological, right? So she is somebody who, when she would talk about why she was a person of faith. She would talk about in the night, God would come to her, pierce her with an arrow, and she would be filled with ecstasy. So it's like a very sort of one-to-one. Or maybe herself. Like, I think she might have been masturbating and then describing it to others, and they are people who maybe weren't touching themselves, who were like, I think you're describing God. Like, that sounds amazing.
Oh my God. What if the divine was just the female orgasm? What if
that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that has a lesbian undercurrent to it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The female orgasm.
It's this kind of like crypto queer.
Yes, no, I'm back on crypto queer. I'm here for crypto queer as a whole concept. Cam, you got to go back to school. You got to write some books on crypto queer life.
I mean, I still think this is super fascinating. I'm like super totally interested in how completely bonkers. Because also now that we have like this new pope and he has like a sort of intelligible Twitter account, I think sometimes people like they retweet him. They're just like, yeah, the church is about like recycling or whatever, because he's like the green pope. But that's not what's friends. That's not what's going on. It's so nuts, and it's amazing how nuts it is. And it really gets my blood boiling.
By the way, when you said like it's you like people want to achieve sainthood in some way, in my mind it was like a Netflix special. Like they're like, I really want to.
Yeah, dog. You know, you're sitting there like, well, they've been sainted, and it seems now they're selling out all of their sermons. So,
well, like, so you are gonna be a priest, and obviously there's such a comparison between like a sermon and a set, you know, and like the way you're sitting here. Not necessarily you don't want the laughs per se, even though honestly, if you get some laughs in a sermon, you're the priest I'm trying to hang out with.
Absolutely.
It's true. Like when a priest has a little personality, I'm like, okay, go on.
I don't care how
cool
I don't
priest
care
is
what,
a whole vibe.
Sorry, I don't care how cool my rabbi is. I'm not hanging out with him.
I'm into it.
Hey, tell me more about Leviticus, buddy.
If you can make it fun, I am interested in hearing about Leviticus. Like Cam is telling me about Teresa's Instagram ads. I'm like, tell me more.
I actually agree. I mean, I think this is like. This is essentially why we follow, like, this is why RuPaul's Drag Race is, such a hit. It's
okay,
because, like,
go.
Well, we are not going to church. We don't go to church. Right. Like, that's true for younger generations in, like, this, in unprecedented numbers. We don't know who the fuck to believe because we finally are understanding that, like, this is all essentially a weird tax break. Like, the church and the president, like, are both doing fine in terms of taxes, but, like, not us.
Yeah.
And so I think we're all just sort of clawing at the walls of our individual apartments, like, what means anything? And then, you know, and then Rue, like, lifts her arm, you know, because that's how she introduces with the challenges that week. And we're just like, yes, tell us how to be. You know?
Tell us how to be.
I did say before we started taping that we would talk about the history of the 20th century in this episode, and it's true. In some way, it is the postmodern, removal of faith and the divine from our daily lives to create a meaningless existence that we are now spending all our time searching for some kind of actual meaning or something greater than all of ourselves. Ken, this is why I like you. You don't know me at all very well. I mean, we've met a handful of times, like when I've accompanied Naomi to shows you guys were on.
Accompanied.
Yeah.
Accompanied, as your gentleman caller.
As my gentleman caller.
No, like if we were at a festival or something
like
that.
No, I know what you mean.
But I vibe with you a lot because I think you are someone that pings between silly and very serious, which is the vibe I run on.
Absolutely. Yes. That is my wheelhouse. Well, I happen to think that all comics are kidding themselves if they pretend to be chill, calm people who just fuck around. Like, to be somebody who's serious about joking, that you are the most serious person on the planet. Like, other people are serious about, like, the medical research that you're doing. You're serious about, like, this word or that word, which one hits? It's like, fuck you. You are so intense. It's impossible to shit. You know what I mean? Like, we're like just like, we are
accurate.
We are
so fucking accurate.
All I'm imagining is like an improv team after a show screaming at each other. Why do you do that third beat? You ruined the Harold.
It's so real. It's so real. That's like, but that's the thing that's so funny, because like, I never want to be in touch with that. Like, or rather, like, I could talk about it with Andy, but in general, I try not to like, I don't like being asked to be on panels about women in comedy or comedy writing, because I don't want to have the conversation where I'm just like, well, this is the serious work. This is our labor. And that's sort of how, you know, I believe if people are laughing, they're listening. And that's how I get through my agenda. And it's like, I don't want to ever have to like say that out loud to people. I don't like, don't treat me seriously. Like, don't respect me as though I'm some sort of a prophet. You know what I mean?
I feel, I like feel you. And for me, I think it's just the opposite. I feel like I am the, if the Wizard of Oz was like, let me show you how it's done. Like that's truly who I am as a person. I just feel interested in the process, and I like
Penn and Teller.
To talk about it.
Penn and Teller.
What I loved when I was a kid was Penn and Teller, because they showed you how the magic was actually done.
Interesting.
And they're like, it's just a scam, and we're going to show you how the scam is done. I had I forget what it was. There was a special card that they would use all the time in their magic tricks, mm-hmm. like Five of Clubs or something like that. And I found a Swatch watch that had a Five of Clubs on it. And I was so excited. I was like, I have to get that. I saved up my allowance to buy this Swatch watch with it, because then when I did card tricks, and I was interested in magic for all of like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So this Swatch watch well outlasted my interest in doing a card trick for people that involved the Five of Clubs or whatever this card was.
Yeah.
Although the Swatch watch is still hanging, and it's Naomi, Cam, if you were to go to my childhood home right now, that Swatch watch, unworking, would be sitting on my shelves.
Wow.
Yes, folks.
Beautiful.
Go to my parents' house in Reading, Pennsylvania, and you will see this. Go knock on the door and ask to see the Swatch watch.
They would let you to anybody. They would literally be like, oh, hello, come on.
Care for a bagel, maybe?
How do you
my
know
dad doesn't talk. I know, my dad
always do that voice for him. And I'm like, he does not sound like that.
We're just kvelling about Naomi's new special.
Rude. So rude.
I love the Swatch watch. You know, I would like to allow me to introduce you to the majesty of my childhood. Sure, did I have a Swatch watch? Yeah, I had a Swatch watch. Also, one time for Christmas. Now imagine, you're the kind of kid who's like, I can't believe this plastic watch. Like, I can't believe I have this plastic watch. But then I got for Christmas, it's a wall clock that is in the shape of an enormous watch. So the face of the clock, the face of the watch is the size of a normal wall clock. But then it just is a watch stretching to the heavens and down to the sea. I mean, it was beautiful.
Wow.
Pop it right on the wall. Watch for the wrist, watch for the wall.
That would have been on like the basement, like finished basement wall of a friend's house.
Exactly. That's exactly where it went. You understand.
You grew up in Chicago?
Yeah, I did.
Evanston?
Not Evanston, due west. Evanston's a little north. I grew up in a town called Western Springs. Ooh, it's
beautiful.
I mean,
You're
shaking
your head back and forth.
It's just a place. It's a place you can be from. I can't even describe it. It's like, truly, we had a milkman.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. You are from now.
I'm from now. Is this what I'm trying to say? We had a milkman, there's a butcher, and also a baker downtown. I don't know if you've watched, what is it called, Contagion? It's the movie everybody was watching at the beginning of the pandemic. It stars Matt Damon. No, it's not Tiger King, but it's close. It's a Soderbergh movie. It is about a global pandemic, mm-hmm. where all things are shut down, and then eventually people like go to war for food, and then Jude Law tries to sell a fake cure. It doesn't matter. It's all it perfectly mirrors many of the things that we've gone through. And during the first couple of weeks of the pandemic, it was the number one trending movie on like everything because we don't understand how to be, you know? And so that I also watched it and I forgot that the place that they live, the like idyllic suburb where the family lives, is actually my hometown. It is filmed in my hometown. And so imagine it's week one of the pandemic. We're all terrified. You know, I'm buying bidets upon bidets that I don't even need, that I'm never going to install. I'm just like, this is our number one priority. You know, I was sleeping with a hatchet. Like, we didn't know what was going to go down. And I started watching Contagion and they show a tracking shot that is Matt Damon driving to the grocery store. And there's a town burning in the background. And that is my actual hometown.
Wow.
Like everything is on fire. Anyway, my point is. yes.
Mabel. By the way, Cam, again, I think we're on the same wavelength because, Mabel.
It's the sound I think of like a lawnmower that is particularly gets her. Mm-hmm. She particularly is like, that's the sound where she goes, absolutely not. It's so interesting.
I know we're on the same wavelength because I am in the middle of drawing a cartoon about someone that is hoarding bidets. Bidets for days. Because in the apocalypse, they want to have a clean butthole.
This is the cartoon.
It's super important. I'm serious that I like... got up really early in the morning, bought one. It was shipped to my home. Then I realized I'm not even handy at all. I don't know how to do it. Then I had to go to the UPS store, like at a time when it's like, you're not supposed to see it and return it. Cause I just it was useless to me. But,
here's something. Because we're going to answer advice questions, some of them relationship. We asked this to Margaret Cho, and I'm kind of curious. Part of your relationship history is like public knowledge. Was that a weird thing to deal with? Because like it's weird for us, and we have to like draw certain boundaries around what we will talk about in public and what is just for us.
And it's like hard to do. It's like or hard to like keep that line where it is, especially because I will sell this man out for a joke. You know what I mean? And so to truly like remember like there is a person attached or a person behind the words I'm saying or, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know. How did you feel?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll say this. You know, I had partners since I started doing I've had many partners, many people I was dating.
Stop bragging.
Came to shows. Who people knew in the world of comedy. And I think that it is a truly unusual and I would say haunted position to just have one of those partners be somebody that everybody knows who that person is. Because I don't think that like, you know, like, I really bet on like, this is the one where like, I'll never be like sweeping up after this. Like this is going to stay and there's not going to be anything to follow, you know? And it was horrible, you know, what happened. And I also will say like, I haven't mastered how to speak about it because I don't think I will ever be able to speak about it like sort of overtly in the one-to-one relationship that I have previously used talking about processing breakups, processing relationships, because usually there's like an anonymity that you can not throw somebody under the bus, but you can provide your side of the details. Mm-hmm. And I get that that might be something that y'all are dealing with too, but like in this particular case, it's like providing my side of the details sort of makes it look like I'm going to court or something, you know, where it's like, there's an expected rebuttal or, you know, it's like it's a stupid position to be in. I don't love it. I do think that like eventually maybe I will be able to talk about some of the experiences that I had that I really hope I get to speak about artistically. Because like, I think, you know, I believe comedy comes from pain, and look at all this pain that I had that I haven't even gotten a chance to mine. So, you know, in the meantime,
yeah, you're leaving money on the table.
Leaving money on the table. A positive side effect of this is that in the meantime, I have had to turn to like actual human friends as opposed to an audience to speak about my feelings. And I think that mm-hmm. that was really necessary for me, but I had just been avoiding it for many years. I think I wanted, you know, I have a hard time with vulnerability. And so yes. it's like the opposite of vulnerability to get up on stage and talk to a group of people about your worst shit because they can't respond and you're never going to see them again. So just throw it in the trash and process it without anybody getting to know you better. And that has been one of the really positive side effects of like having a huge thing happen in my life that I don't really want to talk about in my work yet mm-hmm. is that I like have all these awesome friends. So I would not, if you find yourself trapped in a trap that you made, the positive silver lining is that you will become better friends with your friends.
Yeah.
Is this, so the lack of vulnerability, like, was that, this is going to sound weird, was that a Catholic thing in any way?
I'm sure it was. I think it's also like a safety thing. Like, I don't think I feel very safe in the world because of queerness, you know, haircuts, etc., small person that thinks she's a giant person, whatever it is. And we all have reasons we don't feel safe. But I think for me, it's like, I feel so unsafe that I'm constantly trying to keep myself safe mm-hmm. by, you know, by creating distance. It turns out that actually yeah. doesn't keep you safe. That's what I yeah. found out recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to bring people in because you need someone who's going to notice when your body is missing. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Yep, yep, yep. If it's like, oh, I don't hear from Cam once a month anyway, no one's going to know. No one's going to know.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
You don't want a neighbor to be like, there's a funny smell coming from that apartment.
Right.
I'll wait a week.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I'm, you know how much I love true crime. People only solve murders when it's like, she didn't come to work on time. People who get murdered are the most prompt, punctual bitches in the game. Okay? Because these people show up to work. People go, it wasn't like her. I'm like,
oh
what?
God.
It would never
that
happen
is so
to me.
Funny.
It would never pass. And it's like not fair that they're the one who get killed. Because like I feel like me, if I didn't come to work, it would be like, yeah, she talked about how she hated it all the time. We assume she finally quit. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be like, no, no one was looking. No one was looking.
Yeah. It's I mean, that's worst. What I was setting myself up to be. They only found the body when people didn't get their, when people bought tickets, but I didn't show up to the show. Like, that's the only way people know.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So now you've opened up. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to answer some relish questions.
We'll be right back after this.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke.
MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies' sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable?
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay, soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office. Okay, I need my layers. But I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in Heather Gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
And we're back with Cameron and young Anastasia Esposito.
Holy shit.
Was that the whole thing? Did I get it all right?
Yeah.
We saw it last night, and I said, good God, I gotta remember that.
Yeah. I realized, I'm like, oh, I don't really know much about you personally. And I read your Wikipedia article. And it's got your full, all your names. Is that an Italian Catholic thing? The full middle name? Is one of those your confirmation name?
Yeah, well, one, Anne is like my Catholic middle name. Young is my mom's maiden name. Anastasia is my confirmation name. Also, I don't edit my own Wikipedia. I don't know who put that in there, where they sourced it from. It is correct, but also, what the actual TF?
It is.
Do you
so
still have
intense
friends from CDC?
What's CDC?
Isn't that the thing that you
Centers for Disease Control? I'm like,
isn't that the thing the like Catholic like religious school you go to on like Wednesday evenings?
Oh, CCD.
Yes. Why would I say CDC? What's on my mind lately?
You don't have to go to CCD if you go to Catholic school. Because CCD is like, you don't get enough Catholicism. But if you go to Catholic school, it's like, yo, we already make sure that the kids whose parents are divorced have to go to a special program on Wednesdays. So, like, you don't need any more help understanding how fucked up Catholicism is.
Well, I went to Catholic school until fifth grade. And I remember, like, really quickly, it just, because growing up, you know, Catholic school was the good school. You know what I mean? Like, that was, yes. It was either public school in Harlem or Catholic school. This is before charter schools or whatever became a thing. And so I was in there, and, like, I just remember, though, Catholic school, I was like, you're not doing well for your brand. Because I remember coming home in, like, kindergarten and being like, Mom, if the nuns work for God, why are they allowed to hit me? If God loves everybody, allegedly. And I'm bringing you that shit at five. Y'all ain't doing right. The nuns ain't doing right if five-year-olds can crack the code.
I mean, although I will add that in terms of success, branding success, what you just said, the Catholic school was the good school. Like, think about how fucking sinister it is that Catholic schools are Catholic factories. Like, that's what they do. They make Catholics. And in terms of religious denominations, there isn't one that has more successfully infiltrated the school system in the U.S. than Catholicism. So, like, we're to the level of college teams where they invest a shit ton of money in football programs so that we've normalized how Notre fucking Dame. Weird this shit is.
Notre Dame, like, right? Is that Catholic?
Yes, exactly. So it's literally like that. This is where when Scientology is like, I don't get why we're so harshly criticized. It's like, because you have not systematically broken down the school system. Also, they did the same shit in art. Like, at the time, you know, that the church was like struggling for dominance, they hired all the best artists to make statues and paintings of their shit, mm-hmm. which would be like today. It's like, no, yeah, like Rihanna sings our shit, like, you know, like Lil Nas X, like, we get that he's gay, but like, we don't talk about that. Like, it's like these people sing our shit, you know, like, that is what they did. They're geniuses.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
I legitimately, like, the minute you said that, I was like, oh, like, the Renaissance was just PR for the Catholic Church.
Oh my God. This is
Da Vinci Code. That is what I say.
This is Da Vinci Code. I can't take it. It's coming together in my mind. I can't take it.
There was someone in the Catholic Church in the 1600s from PMRKC, whatever that PR firm is. There's a huge PR firm. Basically, like,
oh my God.
Basically, like, Michelangelo's David was like getting the Oscar
for
best picture or something like that.
The Oscar for best picture.
It's how, like, it's also how, like, the weirdest possible people are coming out to make, like, political videos these days.
Uh-huh.
Like, how, you know, whatever it is. I feel like it also has to do with the increase in social media, but, like, Obama era celebrities being involved with politics, it was like at some top tier shit. And now, like, at this point, it's literally like anybody just being like, anything, Biden, you know, like, and so, like, that's the level that the Catholic Church was at. They're just like, everybody do, like, who wants to do a cover of this dude? He's on the cross. Like, we're looking for covers, covers. Like, anybody can participate, like, make it look like your own.
Oh my God.
Okay, let's do an advice question, because I, like, this is one of those facts, like, when you saying that, like, really, like, opened up a thing in my head where I'm like, oh shit. Like, it's one of the, like, when you start reading, like, Chomsky or Zinn or something like that, and you're like, oh, everything's always kind of been like this, and I'm now just discovering that, and just like, oh, now we're going back to the 1600s and everything's always been like this. and like,
They knew.
Nothing's new.
Ugh, the Catholics.
How Shakespearean. Nothing's new under the sun. All right. So, listeners, of course, you can always DM us. You can always
email us.
But
we love it when you call us. Ooh, baby, leave that voicemail at 323-524-7839. And you could be part of the show. Right now, we are about to hear a lovely advice question from a friend.
First of all, congratulations on an amazing fucking podcast. My name is Randy. I live in sunny California. I'm new to podcasts, and your podcast is fucking amazing. You're able to like completely like catch my attention and I'm dead on the entire time. But that's not why I'm fucking calling. So anyways, I'm married to a phenomenal man. We've been married for a little over 3 years now. Been together for about 8. The relationship has always had ups and downs. Dude can't get the stick in his pants. He's not only focused on me, he's focused on other people. And I've been cool with it for some time. We've had our threesomes. We've been, you know, together. You know, we've been to bathhouses, you know, done some nasty shit together. You know, but that's our bath. You know, that's the system into which we had to play, I guess, whatever. So fuck it. So now, fast track to today. This dude wants an open relationship, and I'm done. We've had this conversation a year and a half ago. I'm done trying to supply your lifestyle. I'm done moving forward with this lifestyle. I want to settle down. I want to have a life. I want to have kids. I know that my dumbass was trying to be Mr. Captain Save-A-Ho and give him the world and life he wanted in the past, but I'm fucking done. Did I screw up my life and this kid, or should I just fuck it up and say, hey, we're both going to have the best of both worlds, and we can have it all. Fuck it. I don't know. That's my question. Thank you.
Ooh.
Okay, first of all, I live for Randy. Because just the way Randy was talking, I was like, what's happening here? And then he was like Randy is an orator. Randy is a spirit. Randy is... exactly who I want to be listening to this podcast.
I was going to say your Patronus.
My Patronus is Randy.
Mm.
Now,
also,
I'm just,
the only edit is just that he said sunny California, but we're using fiery California these days is what we're using. So what were you going to say?
I mean,
the
Randy got to leave him.
Right?
I think Randy got to leave him.
This is a, well, okay, but here's, could be a 6 feet under sitch.
What?
Michael C. Hall, his relationship, they would do threesomes and kind of open, but yeah. Then they eventually adopted two boys.
No. Life is not television.
I have
life
like
is not HBO.
News. Yeah, I have terrible news, I think, for Randy, which is that it's not like there's no incompatibility between having an open relationship and having children. There's no incompatibility between having an open relationship and settling down. The incompatibility is between somebody who wants an open relationship and someone who doesn't.
Yes. Yes.
The type of relationship does not denote any certain yes. thing yes. that you're doing in your life.
Yes.
But if one of you wants to fuck a bunch of other people and one of you does not want to fuck a bunch of other people, there's no sucking it up because that's
Thank
not going
to
go away. And that S-U-C-K-S is the worst.
Well, that's exactly – well, this is also why I love voicemails because you can hear in Randy's voice. He's like, I'm fucking done. Randy, you done said it 3 times. You done. And, you know, people,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, you've been together 8 years and sometimes that feeling of like, you know, we can't think of relationships like investments. This idea of like, well, I put this much time in, so I need to continue. It's like, honey, you ain't old until you're dead. And like, you don't have to be in something that is not working for you just because you did some other years. Because it also sounds like, too, like Randy has put, he has tried to
yes.
satisfy this part of his partner.
And you're telling him to cash in his 401k.
I'm telling him cash it in, bitch. You got to go to Montego Bay, like Cam, meet another
yep.
worker and just have a 3-day meditation ending in a kiss.
It's just the worst because another thing that's truly tragic about this call is that I don't think there's a villain here, which is like, honestly, yeah. I want for Randy for there to be like a terrible villain so that he can like,
right.
you know, get the fuck out and feel like rising from the ashes, justified hatred. But like, unfortunately, I think it might just be two people who want a different relationship model.
Right.
Shit. And I think that has to be like explained to the husband. And that, you know, crap, but he's not a bad person. He's not trying to fuck people because he can't keep his dick in his pants. One of you likes this thing. One of you likes this thing. Oh, crap. Terrible.
You, But you know, it's funny you say that, though, because you are right, right? And that is a mature way to think of it. And yet I still think the husband is the villain. Because I feel as though the person who does want to be with different people, and when you know your partner isn't down, to me the onus is on you to leave, or to at least say, I don't know why. Because I guess I think the person who wants the
monogamy
is like they're predisposed to staying because that's what they want. Whereas in the person who is more predisposed to opening it up, then they're the one who is, I don't know, a little more comfortable like leaving or walking away or.
Oh, I thought you were
maybe
like,
I'm being wrong. Maybe I thought, I'm being mean.
No, I thought you were kind of seeing in terms of like it's a very like kind of like American mass society view where like monogamy is good, thumbs up, and anything outside of that, anything outside of like the heteronormative monogamy model is weird.
And that's in quotes, in case you didn't get it from the way I was saying it.
But. And it's somehow like it is in the back. There's that like kind of cultural super ego in the back of all of our heads. If you were brought up in the United States where there is that thing there and you have to like kind of like be like Cam said, you're like, you're right. It's not.
Yeah. No one's actually bad.
Yeah.
It's also just I think that another thing that like to Naomi's point, like I think you're right. Maybe there's some villainy here. But there's the thing that is true is like, no, but like. Right. So in every relationship, you're supposed to like in terms of, you know, optimal health or whatever, you're supposed to like sit down at the beginning of the relationship and be like, what do you want? What do you want? And everybody's super honest and everybody super knows themselves. And he's like open. And then the other person's like closed. And everyone's like kids, no kids, city, farm life, you know, whatever. It is. You're supposed to know your shit. But my experience has been that like, just that it's like we're not like I wish that we were like that, but I don't know that humans often are because there's the beginning time in a relationship. What I often find is like, yeah, I'm showing that person some part of myself, but also I'm trying to trap them with my best face, you know,
absolutely,
like,
absolutely.
And I kind of think we're all doing that. Like, I wish we weren't. I wish we were all, you know, but you like, I think you get to know what you're getting over time, which is not what a couples therapist would tell you to do or not what, like, you know, it's not what the books say, but I think it's what we're most often doing.
But also I think people don't know what they want, right? Depending on when you get together and how much relationship experience you have, you know, for instance, Andy and I we both knew kind of going in that we don't want kids, meaning we just knew that individually. It wasn't we met each other and made a decision. We already knew that in our heads, but everything else.
You were in your mid 20s and I was like 30, I think.
Yeah.
We got together.
But it was like, we knew that, but you couldn't say to me like, when we first got together, I would have told you, I am never moving to Los Angeles. I absolutely do not. You know what I mean? Like, I would have never thought we would end up here. Like, there's certain things like that. Or, you know, I had a lot of things around money that, like, I feel like I've become like a gross money monster. And I wasn't necessarily a money monster when you met me. You know what I mean? Like, things just had changed as I've gotten older. There's things that I'm like, oh, this is a thing now that wasn't a thing 10 years ago. And so I feel like that's the same thing. Like, again, Randy could have been, I'm not implying that he's been in a relationship against his will, but you reach a point where it's like, that was fine, that was fun, going to the bathhouse, hanging out, you know, having a little threesome, and then you reach a point where you're like, I don't want to try anymore. I get that. You know what I mean? It's like, ugh, we got to clean the house. Someone's coming over for a threesome.
You're tired.
Who wants to do that? Here's like new
too
sheets.
Too tired for a threesome.
Exactly. New sheets, you know?
Oh, man, that is so interesting, too, because I think also we can't overlook how, that like in, you know, cis gay dude culture, this is like a different normalized part of life. And you're right. Maybe it would make sense in that, against that backdrop, to think of it as related to age or investment in a relationship, where like, I think for straight people, it's like so taboo to be into an open relationship that maybe you'd talk about it differently. But like for gay dudes, it might just be like, you might be right that there's like a, dude, we are fucking 40, you know, like, I guess I'm going to keep up the bod, but like, you know, not the smell of the bod, you know, like, just like, we're like, yeah, the exhaustion sets in. And so, yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Also, I like to say, when you said early on, I think we all are trying to trap people in some way, you give your best self, but you want it to be like a gentle trap. You want it to be like one of those ropes in the forest that like grabs your foot right. and pulls you up. You don't want it to be like an open hole filled with like with like feces stained sticks that you fall into.
Okay, feces stained sticks. See, I would say that the yank is actually too rough. I think it's better when you walk and then you're gathered in a net.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, and now you're sitting, you're that gathered. That's warm. Yeah. That's soft. That can be comfy.
Yeah. So, yes. So, yes. A bunch of leaves. Yes. You walk into it and then a net. And it's pulls like, whoop. So that's ideally, that's the as much as yourself. You want to show like the good parts, but like not lie about the good parts. Like to me, the feces stained sticks are like you're just totally lying. You just put on a new personality and trap someone.
No, just like you hit a little bit of it, and then also that person can always cut their way out of the net. All right, you're giving them a real out. They can really kind of get in there, you know. And that's the nice gentle trap.
Yeah, this is the Ewok theory of relationships.
Really well said. Really well said.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Let's do one more. This comes to us from on Instagram.
Love it.
Just a week or two ago.
Perfect.
Of course, I always leave in the compliments. Oh man, your podcast is 10 out of 10 amazing and wonderful. Couples therapy has really helped me get through the past 6 months. So grateful for your hilarity.
Wonderful.
Anyway, my question is, how does one let go of anger and jealousy towards friends who are living their lives as if we aren't in a pandemic? There's a little more here, but like to me, I thought this was a good question to ask about resentments. Again, yesterday was Yom Kippur, thinking about resentments. I'm doing my best to enjoy my last year of college over Zoom while living at home, but seeing friends hanging out in groups without any distancing, going on dates, etc., really grinds my gears sometimes. Any tips for quelling this frustration would be appreciated. XOXO, Charlotte from California. Yes. Yeah, so the micro question about how do you get over the resentment of your friends who are not social distancing, not wearing right. masks. And then I have a question for both of you, which is resentment in general.
Yes.
But Cam, have you seen people, you know, loved ones just hanging out without masks in public places?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's people I know, loved ones, that are doing things I wouldn't do. There's that mm-hmm. thing. There's also complete strangers that I have an opinion about. So I would also put that. Like the other day, I was walking behind a guy who was not only not wearing a mask, but also not wearing a shirt. And I was just like, oh, come on! Like, nothing on anything? You know, like I looked at him I was wearing a mask, a hat, and sunglasses, and I looked at him with such anger that he noticed me through that and gave me a nod. So my point is, I would be so curious to hear what you both think. For me, one thing I have been doing to try to deal with this is find something that I have access to that's enjoyable that I wouldn't usually have access to. I've been taking a lot of like long distance classes. I have been, I've been operating in the, wait, if anything's on Zoom, then there's like actually a lot of shit I can do. Mm-hmm. Because I am really missing the shit that I'm choosing not to do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to not tear my own eyeballs out by doing stuff I don't usually do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What classes are you taking?
Well, I mean, of course, because of what we talked about earlier. I have been taking divinity classes, which is like, those are the classes that you take if you want
I know,
to
are
be
you doing this
minister.
Again? Are you going back?
Yeah, I've been taking classes. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah, I'm taking classes right now. And wow. I'm taking two classes right now. I have taken five throughout the pandemic.
Wait, wow.
I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
If this is too personal, tell me. But like, did you actually feel a calling before, like earlier in your life?
I know this is like so weird. I totally understand that I'm from now and that I'm a person that you like and respect. But the answer is yes.
You did.
Yeah. Like a weird spiritual thing. Well, so what I'm taking right now is I took a class in forgiveness over the summer that was taught at the college that like essentially fucked me by telling me I couldn't come out there. taught by my former thesis advisor. That was very healing. And then I'm taking classes right now. I'm taking a class called Black Women in the Black Church, because it turns out there are, you know, marginalized communities who have been doing their own shit for a very long time. And I think that, like, as a queer person, I just have a lot to learn from other people who created their own spaces. And whether or not anything ever happens from this, I just don't want to feel so angry that, like, I sort of had all these wrongs done to me when I was younger.
Yeah. What is the forgiveness class? Because I really could use that. Or I could use some kind of, like, because this goes to this question where I am just full of resentment for the motherfuckers in the world. Like, the people who, either through their own ignorance or their malevolence, are purposely making life shitty. And I can't, I've been having, it's really been intensified over the last 6 months. I was going to say 4 years, but, like, definitely like 6 months. Like, how, please.
I mean, I can give you, like, an actual answer. This is, like, okay. This is what I think. Number one, you're always pushing for restorative justice. So it's not like, so that's like a layer on everything. Like, you always want that above all else, but the other party has to opt in, or the other people have to opt in. You can't foist that on anybody. So if the other party doesn't opt in, then the thing that you have to look at is who is suffering the most due to the lack of forgiveness. And it does apply to this question. So when you're angry outward, but that person isn't there to receive it because they didn't show up, because they're not interested in restorative justice, really the only person that is harmed is yourself, because you're just angry at the fucking void. And so it's essentially like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die.
Yes, yeah. Drinking the poison, waiting for the other person to die. You gotta let it go, like, honey.
Yeah, that's the thought. And it applies to this right now, which is, like, I get so fucking pissed about this same thing of, like, why am I taking this so seriously? And then this, the actual criminal who's running the country gets to act like he does. And the answer is, like, I don't know, can't fix it. So would I like to live every day of my life with a burning hatred pointed in his direction, or, like, do the appropriate actions that might help to cause him to not be reelected and then enjoy my life? Which one of those things is actually a bigger fuck you to him? And I think that the bigger fuck you is if I actually am experiencing joy. Ah, I'm sorry I was serious and gave an honest answer.
No, again, that was accurate.
I'm telling you, I vibe on your wavelength where you vacillate between seriousness and silliness.
But it's also, like, it's true, though. You're talking about this question is about the actual circumstance, but then in general. I mean, you know, I run on resentment. You know, it's
me
the
too.
Way America,
me
the way
too,
America
baby.
Runs on
me
Duncan.
Too.
You know, it is really... it gets me out of bed. It gets me out of bed. It also gets me back into bed in the middle of the day. It's a little bit of both. But so, like, I know that, and, like, but I do know a lot of, like, when I have let go of resentments, it has been that, like, turning it over. And also, like I remember legit, I had, like, a resentment over somebody, and I literally prayed on it and cried, like, in the way where I was like, please relieve me of this feeling of caring so much about what this other person does. And now we're friends-ish, me and that person. Because I was so fucking, it was too much. And it was like a resentment over her success. And I was like, please relieve me. Like I was like, this person is not succeeding to hurt me.
Right.
So I have really got to let go. And, like, that is like, I remember that working, like, because it was such a low where I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do, but I cannot go on this way. And, like, feeling like with everybody else in the world as well, like, I don't know, the best I can do is, like, small bouts of just not thinking about it, which may not be the best, but, like, remember, like, when I was like, don't talk to me about politics after 8 p.m. like, we said something where I was like, I cannot engage with it because I'm not at the point where I can take it in and let it go. I take it in and hold it, so I cannot take it in until I can get to the point where I can take it in and let it go. I just can't even, you know. And so, like, that's
right,
my first with this friend, right? Even this person talking here was like, what do I do? You're going to have to block some bitches on social for a little while. Don't see them doing their parties. Don't see them doing whatever if it's going to annoy you, because you're not wrong to be annoyed. So take away the stimulus that frustrates you.
Yes, there's a difference. Now. I think I've learned this, especially in the past 6 months. There's a difference between purposely sticking your head in the sand and curating a world where the assholes aren't in your face all the time. And if that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
yeah,
you're not being willfully ignorant by like blocking the shitheads that are out in the Ozarks partying.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, another thing that I would add to that is like, because Naomi, I think you and I are the same in that like resentment has fueled. I mean, I have achieved anything that I have achieved is because I was angry with someone else, you know, and wanted to prove them wrong. And
I'm
just at a point in my life now where I would like the freedom to make my own decisions. Mm-hmm. And that is what I'm trying to release. It's not like, and so now I wish everybody well. It's more so like, if my anger at you is why I'm living the way I am, then you run my life.
Right, you're running me.
And that fucking sucks. So reducing that, doing things like, okay, well, I actually don't need to see this. Or like, for instance, I subscribe to the New York Times and the LA Times and I turn my notifications on. So I don't go on social media to see what the news is. I get the news. And that is like, that's a big change that I've made to just try to not be so fucking pissed all the time. Because like, just seeing... I was just so angry. I just be like, again, you know, so
right. Oh, here's maybe this. Anything that's out of your control. I like the way you put a camera earlier, but let me put this twist. If it's out of your control, maybe don't spend all this time thinking about it. And then instead do things that will either bring joy into your life or will make the world better. Volunteer.
Right.
Or whether volunteer or like become an activist, like join Sunrise Movement or some kind of Justice Dems, whatever it will be the thing that like that coincides with your own political point of view or something like.
Right.
I mean, look, if you're on the right side of the spectrum, then don't do anything. Just sit in your house and don't actually go and do anything.
Yeah. Stay in the house and never leave and talk to no one.
Yeah. Right. But like, you know, if you're somewhere from the center to the left, you know, go and do something that could change the world and make it better. And fill up your soul a little more and push the resentment. Like you are filling up a glass with water and the resentments are the ice cubes and you're going to try to push the ice cubes
rising to the top.
Yes.
You get them out. You want to get that layer of cream, resentment cream. You want to make skim it. Skim that resentment cream right out of there.
And look, and now Naomi, you and Reese Witherspoon are great friends.
All the people. I don't know why that name just fucking killed me. To say Reese Witherspoon is to kill me.
Thank you so much.
Cam, this was just a true delight.
It really was.
So grateful. So grateful. You know, I cannot wait to... I feel like now, like, this really got me wanting to read your book, Save Yourself. I want to get into Save Yourself. I want to, like, really unpack now. There's so much there. You've lived a real, really wild ride. You've gotten your groove back. And
I think that's the thing. You've lived a life. You didn't, like, go straight into comedy at, like, 19.
And that's why she's interesting.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why
I fully believe.
That's why I'm, like I'm reading your soul.
Oh, I'm so glad that my soul seems vaguely interesting. You know, I did. What's funny is also that, like, I did go into, you know, I started doing comedy at 19 when I was in college, and weirdly have been doing both things for a long time. And this relates to our last question, which is just to say, like, I think another thing that I found was creating so much resentment for me was how much I had, like, taken anything that I like and been like, this is useless garbage. The only thing that matters is achievement, which is motivated by you, the person I hate, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's also why I said earlier, it's like, it is also a fuck you to other people if you're like watching a TV show you really love, you know, like to this person who asked this question.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a fuck you if you're like really dig the dinner you made, you know, like if you're like stuck in a resentment and you need an action for that, like enjoying yourself however that is just as good a fuck you as like proving them wrong or whatever. Then you go on nine dates instead of their eight dates, you know, like not doing that.
Oh,
but that's so like, real. That's how I feel about politics though. Like I'm very like, you know, and I think part of this like money monster thing or this, you know, me being so like what I want, the best thing I can do as a black woman is fucking win. And I don't mean that resentment wise. I mean like I need to be thriving for my ancestors. I need to be thriving for the culture. So the best thing I can do is achieve my dreams. And so if that is the case, what are all the things on top of me that are stopping me from doing that? You know, because I do. I'm like the best. Because that's the thing is like, because, you know, my impulse, you know, honey, I'm a damn sad sack and every day's a struggle. But it's like the thing is, that's what they want. And I know that to say they is a little QAnon of me, but like that's what the system wants. Right. Because if I'm broke down, I don't show up. I don't fight. I don't yell. I was talking to somebody because I was like doing some video about registering to vote. And the guy, it was like a young black guy, I think. And he was like, well, I'm from New York. It's gonna go blue anyway. I'm not really. He's like, I don't know if I should go. And I literally like, this is someone I do not know. Legit sent him a video on Instant. I go, bitch, you better get up and go because it ain't just about the president. There's other stuff on the ballot that matters that will affect your daily life. And that's what they want. They want your ass tired and complacent and bored. If everybody thought it's gonna go blue, it ain't gonna go blue. And then he literally just goes, well, I guess I kind of have to now, LOL. And I was like, yeah, you do. It's like, you know, and it's like, that's the thing. It's like people want you to feel like, eh. And the thing, I can't do that. I can't feel, eh. I have to feel like, let's go get them, you know? And that's hard. But you gotta. Mm-hmm. You gotta.
Yeah.
You gotta.
Beautifully said. Everybody on this call is doing an amazing job of achieving their goals of world domination through enjoyment of one's own personal life.
Yes.
Trying. Thank you.
Thanks,
see you all next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.